my soul.
Amen. How many thanks God for that today?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Not that he just loved us, but he's given us the power to love others. Amen. The way that he does. And I think of Brother Branham. He said, when you come into the presence of God like that, there's no way you could condemn another mortal being, another human being like that. There's just a power there because of his mercy to us. We realize that we were condemned and unclean as well, but God, rich in mercy, has made a way for us. And so I just thank God for that tonight. If you have your Bibles, try not to prolong the time too much with me as I talk here. You know, I was thinking, as Brother James was talking about, between 6 and 9 in the morning, I thought, I hope I'm still asleep tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, but I doubt it because I've got 4 kids. But it's interesting. But God be gracious to each of us is my prayer, and I thank God for his love towards us. 2 Kings chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 14 to 19. And the scripture tells us here, it says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. I like that. He says, and he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Now, I want you to notice that this arrow is prophetic. It's right. It's a natural arrow, but it's prophetic in the sense that what you're going to do with this arrow is what I want you to do to Syria. And he makes the statement, as he says, it's thus saith the Lord. He says that you will do this till you've consumed them. Amen?
Amen.
So God has given him this prophetic arrow. He says, do this till you've consumed them. And he said, take the arrow. He took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And now watch this. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou hadst smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed them, like he said. Is that right?
Right.
Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you tonight, Lord, and now as we approach your throne of grace and mercy, Lord, we do thank you for what you've done in our lives, Father. We can look at our homes and our families and our jobs. We can look at this assembly and brothers and sisters in Christ and be thankful, Father. There are so many blessings that we don't deserve tonight, Lord. We can look through our lives and we can see tragedies and mistakes that we might have made, but I'm thankful I can see that the tender hand of Jehovah that kept me when I wasn't keeping myself, that protected me, that directed me, Lord, that plucked me as a brand from the fire, Father, when I was destined for hell, when I had set a course for destruction. With a mighty hand you come and save me, Father, for each one here tonight, Lord. We can look at the tender hand of Jehovah. We might have been through valleys, we might have been through struggles, but you brought us here tonight, Lord. And I believe, as the scripture says, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to your purpose. Lord, it's your purpose and plan that has kept us. It's your purpose and plan that has brought us here tonight, Lord, to this divine appointment. Father, we do not come before you asking you to bless this service, Father. You brought us here tonight, Lord. You ordained this appointed time. You ordained that we would come together. You said that if 2 or 3 would gather together in your name, you would be in our midst, Lord. We come now, Lord, not as a superstition or a tradition, but we come in obedience to the word of God, knowing and believing, accepting that you would come and do a mighty thing, that the same God that kept us, the same God that has delivered us, he desired that we would come tonight, that you might do something in our midst this evening. That you might do something for us tonight, Lord, because you're still not done with us, Lord. You've not given up on us, but the same God that begun a good work, he's faithful to finish it. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Come now, we pray, as you write the story of your unmerited grace and mercy in our lives. Come and take the Spirit and write in our hearts and move in our midst, Father, and get your great glory and honor in this place. Father, we desire to see it as David said. We desire this thing. Lord, we desire one thing tonight. We desire that you would be in our midst, that we would dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that we would see your glory as we've seen in your tabernacle. Father, come now and be mighty in our midst, and we'll give you the praise and glory and honor. For we ask it now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to minister this evening for just a little bit, if I could, on the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Brother Brand preaches a sermon about this text in 1956, and I'd just like to go ahead and start with a quote, if I could, from that. Brother Brand says this. He says, now, he says, no matter how mysterious it seems, God always keeps his word. No matter how unreasonable it may seem to people, God keeps his word. And if God makes a promise of anything, God will keep that promise. You and I make a promise, we break it. Because we don't mean we have to do it, but sometimes circumstances causes us to do it. Now, if you've ever raised children or you know anything, my kids got to a point where when I tell them maybe, they said, oh, that means no. I didn't mean it like that, so you got to be careful. But you got to be careful when you say, well, we'll go do a certain thing or we'll go this or I'll get you this, because circumstances arise, and sometimes we in our human inability, we can't keep words always, amen? Not because we mean to be dishonest or break it, but because circumstances arise. And so, the book of James says, well, that's why we would say, well, don't say that we'll go over here and buy and sell and do a certain thing, but if the Lord wills, amen? But sometimes we find that our humanity prevents us from doing things we want to do, amen? But I'm thankful because God doesn't have that restriction, amen? God doesn't make a plan and then say, well, I don't think I can keep it. Well, I didn't know this was coming up. Well, I guess I don't have the power. I didn't have the foresight. God doesn't have that problem.
Right.
I'm thankful tonight because that's the God that we serve. Amen. When I make mistakes, look, I make mistakes. Amen. And God has blessed me in the midst of making mistakes.
Yes.
Amen. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Got a couple amens out of that one. Amen. I made mistakes. I did something I shouldn't have been doing. I thought I was going to really reap what I sowed. Amen. And maybe I didn't even mean to, but God come along and straighten things out. Amen. God has a way of meeting you where you're at. Amen. In the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your mistakes. Amen. I remember preaching a long time ago here. Many of you know the story about Joshua when he spoke to the sun and told it to stand still. That's because he made a mistake. He made a league with people he wasn't supposed to even be making leagues with. Amen. But God met him where he was at, because God had commissioned that despite his mistakes. Look, God knew what Joshua was going to do. God didn't say, well, that's stupid, Joshua. Now that was dumb. Now that ruined my whole plan. I just didn't know he was going to pull a fast one on me. Look, God knew he was going to make a mistake. God rebuked him for it, and God still met him. And God still hearkened unto his voice like no other man he's ever hearkened unto his voice before. Amen. I'm thankful tonight. That's the kind of God we serve. We don't mean to make mistakes. We don't mean to say one thing and then do the other, but circumstances cause it. But he says this, but when God, being infinite, then he knows all the future from beginning. And he don't make a promise unless he knows what's gonna happen. Now, we've got hundreds of promises in this Bible. And I dare say most Christians, as the prophet said, they live a million miles below their privileges. Amen. We sometimes question, can God keep his word? Amen. Sometimes we're like Abraham. Well, you're going to have a child in your old age. And we kind of laugh about it. Now, this is a man who staggered not at the promise. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes we question, can God really keep his word? But look, when God has ordained a certain thing, when God has appointed a certain thing for you, God will look not at your natural testimony, not at your natural ability, but as a seed of Abraham, as a child of God. He sees a son, a daughter of God that staggers not at the promise. He sees somebody that is a believer, not because of what you've done, but it's because of who you are. You are believers, and believers believe the word. Amen. And Satan will say, well, look, there they doubted. And God says, that's a believer. Believers don't doubt. Believers believe. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, hallelujah, we're getting somewhere tonight, amen. We do that so often as human beings. We're always trying to do and trying to acquire or to accomplish. It's not about what you've done, it's who you are. Hallelujah. He says it, that's me too. Well, praise God, we can pack up and go home. That's me, amen. He says here, he says he always keeps his promise. Sometimes it seems it's ridiculous. The way he would go around about to keep his promise, I tell you what, it would have seemed a lot easier just to give Abraham a shot at 75, but God took him around about and made him, he went out and backslid, he went and did this, went and fought some kings, went and did all kinds of things, and finally, here he is 100 years old. Right. Now God comes on, why didn't God do this sooner than that? Because God needed to get Abraham where he needed to be, amen? Yeah. Well, hallelujah, I tell you what, praise God. He says, God always, I like the way he says, God always does that. Well, we should not be surprised, I guess.
There we go. Amen.
Amen. Well, why is this person that I care about going through this? Why am I in this situation? Why am I here? God always does that. Amen. Look, you and I have ideas. We think it should go this way, but those same ideas is why we made mistakes in the first place. Amen. Amen. So lean not on thine own understanding, Amen. But acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, how strange that the people might have thought in the days of Noah when he was building a way on an ark to save himself and his household that there'd be rain come down out of heaven, but God rained it just the same. Amen. I want to read a different quote. It's from Conflict Between God and Satan 62 because he's talking about Noah, and I like how he says this here before I go on. He says maybe some people, they kind of halfway believed Noah. Maybe they might have went up there and stood around the ark and said, you know what? That old man might have been right. We better stand here. Well, then they seen that, he says, then they seen a mistake. He says, God prophets don't, he says, God prophets make no mistake. God's word can't fail. Amen. He's not talking about Noah's flesh now. He's talking about the word that Noah received. Look, he don't make mistakes. They looked at that and said, well, I think he made a mistake somewhere. There was no mistake to be had. They thought they seen a mistake. They thought they seen he was wrong. There was nothing to see though. Amen. And let me say this, there's nothing to see today, amen? Amen? Well, I'm looking at a man, I'm looking at his failings. God don't make no mistakes. Amen. God's word doesn't fail, amen?
Amen?
He said, you heard me preach about Jonah. I was talking to Brother Stephen about this last night. You heard me preach on about Jonah going to Nineveh. They said he was backslid.
Yeah, right.
Well, that brother, he's done sinned away his day of grace. I thought he was a real believer. I thought he was a real Christian. He's backslid. Like old Jonah, he's backslid. He said he sure wasn't.
Right.
Hallelujah. He was right in the will of God. Exactly. He had the word of the Lord and he walked in it. Now that seems strange to you and I. We'll look at somebody like Jonah and we'll say, well, maybe they're backslid. Maybe they're getting cold on God. God has a way of doing things. Amen.
Amen.
God has a way of breaking you down to reform you. Amen. Can the clay say to the potter, why have you made me thus? Sometimes you look at your life and you'll say, man, I'm making mistakes. I feel like I'm further away from God than I've ever been in my life. I feel so down. I feel so backslid. Why art thou cast down, oh my soul? Have hope in God. Amen.
Amen.
Look, I didn't join this for the feels, as they say. Amen. Look, whether I'm up or down, I'm going to praise God anyhow. Amen.
Amen.
Because, again, it's not about how I feel. It's not about what I did. It's who I am. Amen?
Amen.
And you might feel like you're having trouble praying. You might be praying for something tonight, and you feel like you're just praying against a wall, that you're praying to a brass mountain. Just God don't seem to be moving at all. God has heard your prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Daniel prayed one time, and he thought God didn't hear his prayer. Hallelujah. I've been praying for 10 years. I've been praying for 20 years. God heard you since the first day. God heard you since the first time. Amen. God's ear is not waxed heavy that he can't hear. His arm's not waxed short that he cannot save. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what. Well, that person, they're back. So they're this or that. Jonah was right where God wanted him. Look, that boat couldn't get there that fast. Amen.
That's right.
Jonah's going, what we would say, the wrong way, got him where he was supposed to go faster.
On time.
Amen. Tell you what now, that's a pretty good deal. Exactly. He had the word of the Lord and he walked it. Now he didn't feel like he was walking it. We don't look at it and say, well, he's walking it. He was walking in it whether he realized it or not.
Right.
And tonight, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, I don't know where you're at tonight, but if you're a child of God, you're right where you need to be. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I need to get right with God. That's fine. That's why God brought you here tonight.
Amen.
You're walking right where God wants you. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, praise God. We're here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He says, here now, Noah. He said, now, children, all you get around and you'll see the first cloud that ever come in the sky. It'll come over in the morning. Well, the sun come up. Well, maybe it was 9 o'clock. We'll watch at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3, 4, 5, 6. Whew. He says they shut the door yesterday too. Some of them said, well, you know what? I'm going to agree with Sister Susie down at that great in her big church. That old man is crazy. He went up there and shut the door and said the rain was going to fall. And there he sits. And there's nothing to it.
Right.
Nothing to Noah's message.
Nope.
It's dry as it's ever been. There's no rain. There's no miracles. There's no nothing. I don't see it. Well, you should have been on the inside of the ark.
Amen.
You'd have seen the door shut. No, it didn't shut the door. Amen.
Amen.
They missed who shut the door.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. I tell you what. He went up there and shut the door. The rain's going to fall. And there he said, there's nothing to it. Sun come right up, went on like it always did. There's no such thing as rain. He said, them lukewarm, halfway believers, half-hearted, that's not willing to take God, plumb down to the end of the road, live or die.
Amen.
Now, I like how he said this in the beginning. They're halfway believers. They sympathized with Noah's message for a while. They thought it looked like a good idea, but afterwards, like, well, you know what? There's nothing to all that, amen?
All right.
But somebody who's going to go the distance, amen, to the very end of the road, live or die, amen? That's what God was looking for. That's what God's looking for today. He's not looking for me to figure it out or to reason with it, but he's looking for me to say, you know what? God vindicated Noah. God vindicated Moses. God vindicated Elijah. God vindicated this word. Look, who can match this vindication? Amen. Who can stand up against this and stack their ministry and say, this is not of God? We've got Jannies and Jambres and we've got all these fools out here. There was no one that could stand against Moses. Is that right? That's what God told Joshua. No man will be able to stand against you for your whole life. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I think of the prophet Jeremiah, God, so I'm going to make you as an iron wall and a fenced city and an iron pillar, amen? God's going to make you a stronghold, amen? We're looking for some sort of a refuge. You are the refuge, amen? You are the walls. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, amen? There's a strong man on the inside of you. When Satan rises up to destroy your body, to come against your spirit, you can say, God has fortified me behind the word, amen? God has made me an invincible army. God has testified that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against me in judgment shall be condemned. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I don't have to back down from the enemy tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not looking for a place to hide. My life's already hid with Christ and God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. There's a people tonight. Praise God. There are pillars in the house of God. There are pillars in their homes. There are pillars at their workplace. When the people get sick, they know who to go to. They know somebody can get a hold of God. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you what, whether they want to get in the ark or not is their business, but they know where to go.
Amen.
They ever want to get in, we didn't shut the door. Well, they know where to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Going back here to the arrow of God's deliverance, Brother Bram says this. Is this all right? I'm just reading some quotes here for a little bit. He says, I think of Moses standing there up on the mountain by the side of this burning bush. He lost all hopes of freedom. Hallelujah. He lost, you know, that 40 years really took its toll on Moses. Amen. He lost all hopes of freedom. Didn't seem like the freedom that the people he so gallantly stood for at one time was ever going to happen. But in the light of God, hallelujah, standing by that burning bush, everything in him changed. And he says, and it's the same today that many of us lose the sight of freedom. So I think of a little boy standing before, probably an infantile paralysis, little arm twisted up, a little lady with a white cane sitting here in front of me, probably a blind woman, lovely young lady laying here in a cot, and maybe, he says, maybe there's many of you here with cancer, heart trouble, diseases. It's going to kill you. And you, he says, but you lose all thought of freedom as soon as the doctor says it's incurable. He says, oh, hallelujah. This is good. He says, my brother, if we ever come into the presence of God like Moses did, he said, why, it was a revolutionary to him. It would revolutionize. It says, in the light of the angel of God standing on the mountain that day, everything he once thought, everything that he once had or thought would never happen, come to be a reality. And I think if men and women today would ever stop in the light of the Holy Spirit, under the unction of God's Spirit, in the light of God's Word, everything that God has promised, amen?
Everything.
Everything that God has promised will illuminate to you and be real again.
Yes.
He says, why? The reason Moses fell in the first place. He says, here's what was the matter. It was the lack of having what the burning bush had.
Amen, amen, amen.
Woo, I tell you what. Well, God, don't do that no more. The days of miracles is past. We're waiting for revival. We're waiting for this. You lack what the burning bush has.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Woo. Hallelujah. Look, when you come to the burning bush and you don't walk, what happened to this there anyway? Was that really God? Was this, was that? No. You took your shoes off. God spoke to you. He said, I'm come down. I'm going to go down. I'm going to deliver this people. Amen. Here comes an old man with a dried up stick that he beat sheep with. Amen. Walking in a one man invasion. Here's an old man fortified behind the word of God. People that, I don't know about all that. Well, you lack what the burning bush has. Well, I guess that hurts. Amen. That sword cuts both ways. That's right. And what our failure today is, lack having what the Holy Spirit has. Well, in case you didn't know what he was talking, I might spell it out for you. Amen. And the Holy Spirit has all good things for us. And if we receive the Holy Spirit, then all things are possible. And not only possible, but promised to us.
Amen.
Now, tonight I'm speaking on the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the reason I'm saying this, God made a promise. Is that right? Elisha speaks to the king. And he says, God has promised you deliverance. You take this arrow and you smite the ground just like you're going to do to Syria. Show me what you're going to do to him. I mean, give me a demo here, amen. Show me what you're going to do. And he kind of plinks it a few times. And I don't know, maybe he got tired. I don't know why. He just kind of decided to stop believing, amen. Kind of halfway do it. Here God had personalized his deliverance in this arrow. And he does it three times and he stopped. And I want you to remember, Elisha was not... He was not happy about it. He wasn't non-committal towards it. He was wroth, the Bible says.
Right.
And for you that don't know what wroth means, it means he was steaming mad about it. Amen. He was fuming about it. He was getting a little hot under the collar. And he says, why did you stop? I gave you the very instrument of deliverance. The very thing you need. Look, you didn't have to go find it. You didn't have to go get it. You didn't have to go make it. Here's the arrow. Strike the ground. I did all this work for you and you got lazy and did it three times.
Uh-huh.
I did everything else. I want God all for you. I even put my hands on there for you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We look at, praise God. Here's a man and he had the very power given naturally into his hand and he stopped short. Amen.
Sure.
He was told to do it halfway, or he was told to do it and he does it halfway. Amen. And he halfway smites the ground. He forfeits. May say that he forfeits his deliverance. The deliverance is already promised to him. Amen.
Right.
Look, deliverance is promised to you.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is promised to you. Promises are made to you. Amen.
Amen.
But he forfeits it because he does it halfway.
Right.
Amen. Brother Brown preached a sermon. It's just where I think Pentecost failed. And what I want you to understand tonight, he didn't say why I think Pentecost is failing or why it could fail. It already failed.
Yeah.
When he's preaching the sermon, it already failed. Amen. They would come all the way. Brother Bram talks about how the justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God would do a restoration. Amen. You look at Luther's age and we look at what God did there and we thank God for that. But God come up to a time where he said, you know what? I've given you one arrow, but I want you to keep striking the ground. I don't want you to stay at justification. Amen. And you have a people that went on with God and you have a people that said, you know what? I've done enough. I believed enough. God gave me this promise and I struck the arrow on the ground once and that's fine. Amen. God wasn't happy about that.
Right.
Elisha wasn't happy about that. Amen. God didn't say, be satisfied with where you're at and just stay there. But God said, no, I've got something more for you. There's a full deliverance promise to you that you would utterly consume and smite the enemy. Amen. What I want you to understand is God sent the arrow of God's deliverance. Amen. He sent the Holy Ghost to the church, not for you to stop at justification or sanctification or something that happened back in the day, but he wants you to have a full deliverance. Amen.
Amen.
Don't stop halfway. Amen.
Amen.
God didn't stop halfway. He sent the whole thing. Amen.
Amen.
Oh my, hallelujah. That's where Pentecost failed. They were satisfied with an anointing. They were satisfied with gifts. They said, well, we've got all these things. We don't want to continue with the Lord. We don't want to be branded as fanatics. We don't want to do these things. And what they did, they forfeited their own deliverance. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were more worried about lifestyles. Well, the problem is they changed what they thought about lifestyles. Amen. Well, this is the type of lifestyle you have. Well, now you need to do this. Well, now you need to act like this, look like this. Well, now you can let this bar down and you can do this. See, that's the problem with regulating a lifestyle. That changes with popular opinion. What we're talking about tonight is not a lifestyle. It's life itself. It's a person, amen? It's an arrow of God's deliverance. I was thinking, and Brother Bram talks about the white horse rider has a bow and narrow arrows, and the scripture talks about the arrow of God's deliverance, and I wondered, why an arrow? What makes an arrow special? And I was looking at something, and it came to me finally. What is what makes an arrow like the Word of God? Amen? Let me say it to you this way. When you release an arrow, once you release that arrow, you can never recall it back. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes you'll say something in a heated exchange with your husband or your wife. You might say something, and if you're not careful, you have to be careful what you say, because once that word goes out, you can't take that back. You can apologize for it. You can feel bad about it, but once it's said, you can never unsay it. Amen? But listen, God sent an arrow. Amen? He sent His word. And what I want you to know, when God sends the arrow of His deliverance, when He sends the word, He can't recall it back. He can't change His mind. God sent it, and once it's released, it's gone. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. I tell you what. There's a people, and they wandered through the wastelands and the wilderness to come to a place of deliverance, to come to a promised land. Is that right? And they come up, and now think about what they come out of. They come out of mud pits. They come out of bondage. They come out of their kids being thrown and killed and everything else. Everything they put up with and everything they went through. And God delivers them, and they cross through a sea and they cross through the wilderness, and God takes care of them. They come all the way up to the Jordan and say, well, now we don't want to go in. There's giants there. Are these giants any harder for God to stop than the nation of Egypt? This is the mightiest nation there was. Did you forget what they did to your kids? Do you forget what they did to your family? Do you forget what they did to your God? Do you forget what they did to your prophet? Do you forget all these things? Right. Pentecost come out of Luther come out of Catholicism. These guys, they come out of Catholicism, and now they're wanting to yoke up with them and unite with them, and we're all one big family, and we're all Christians, and we're all brothers. Do you forget? Do you forget what the denomination did to them? Do you forget the price the prophets paid? Do you forget what them saints of old had to go through to preserve this word? Amen? Look, God had a deliverance. Amen? God had a furtherance of the word. And it cost people something. It cost them their lives. It cost them their homes. It cost them their family. Amen? Here's the people that come all the way up and they stop short. Well, hallelujah. We're going to stop short. We're not. We can't receive the promise. Why even come out of Egypt?
Right. Yeah.
Amen. My thought tonight, as I preach this, is not just that there's an arrow of deliverance, but why stop short? Amen. Amen. Yes. Anything worth doing is worth doing well.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Bram says this. I'm going to read out of this sermon again. Here he says, out of the arrow of God's deliverance, he says the same things happened tonight in church. He says, we struck the arrow of God's deliverance. He said it was that God sent an arrow of deliverance to us. He said the arrow of God's deliverance is the Holy Spirit that's been sent, shot from the bow of God's love. He says this, I love how he says it. He says, when the eternity to the eternity was pulled together by the cord of love, God shot the arrow of deliverance into the church on the day of Pentecost. Amen. I want you to realize that the Holy Ghost has been shot into the church tonight. And what does it come to do? God was pulling together eternity from eternity. Amen. What you were before the foundation of the world, what you'll be in the end, God united it by a cord of love. Amen. God's love sent an arrow to bring you to that. What you always were, what you will always be, God has united by the Holy Ghost. That you're not some serpent seed. You're not some make-believer. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You always was and you always will be. Amen. And nothing can change that. When the enemy rises up and tries to take that from you, you've got an arrow that says, no, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm not defeated. I'm not the enemy. I'm a child of God. Amen. You have an arrow and it's come to bring it to pass. God pulled eternity. Oh, hallelujah. I love the prophet says the eternity dropped down into a body called time. Is that right? And here he is tonight. I was talking with somebody at work today. You know, it's funny when you tell people you beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Well, you get weird looks. Well, what do you think Jesus got? You give him weird looks too. The difference is he remembers. I don't remember it, but I saw it anyhow. Because when he saw it, I saw it. Amen. Because I was there with him. When the morning stars sang together, when the sons of God shouted for joy, amen. Look, I've seen his beginning and I've seen his end. And let me say, I'm not impressed. Hallelujah. I'm not worried. I'm not scared because I've seen where I come from. I come from God. I'm going back to God. There's an arrow of deliverance has been sent to take me to it, amen. And any enemy that rises up in front of you, you just draw back the bow. Look, don't just shoot it once. Shoot it till it's good and dead. Shoot it till it ain't moving no more. Well, I got delivered from a certain thing years ago, but now it's come back. Well, shoot it again. Amen. Shoot it again. Yeah. Don't be, well, God could do this for me. God did this one time. Look, if you're in trouble tonight, you've got an arrow. Don't do it halfway. Yeah. Kill the stupid thing. Amen. Amen. Kill that devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I tell you what. We're not creatures of time anymore. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. I'm no longer just a creature of time. I am a creature of eternity. I didn't start. Well, it's like I was telling this to the home church here a little while back. When I was over in Africa with Brother Joseph Chikose, he said something I really liked. And this might shock you, but he said this. He said, I'm not going to heaven one day. He said, I'm returning to heaven. I'm returning, amen. Look, I'm not going. I tell you what, that'll get the people in church look at you funny. Brother James, I ain't ever going to go to heaven. I'm going to return to heaven. I'm going back. Because that's where I come from in the first place. Look, I didn't start here, amen. I was always in the mind of God. And God was so willing. That you know that he shot an arrow to show you what eternity said. Look, it wasn't because he didn't like you. The court of love is what did it. God loved you. That's why he did it. Amen. He wanted to know you were always mine. You were always my bride. Before there was a speck of dust, I put the unmerited wedding band of predestinated grace on your finger. You always was the bride of Christ. You always was a son. You always was a daughter. That's not what I made you. That's who you always were. Amen. And the Holy Ghost has come into the church to bring it to pass, to manifest the sons and daughters of God. Amen. The very thing you're waiting on, the very thing all creation's waiting on. Oh, hallelujah. He says this, he shot the arrow of God of deliverance into the church on the day of Pentecost. Well, now why are some people waiting for it still? Well, one day God's going to send. God sent it already, amen. He struck the earth. Pick it up and do it again. Well, we're not where we're supposed to be. Well, then shoot the arrow again. The arrow's here. Look, God give you the arrow. You're just the same as it was in the opening scripture there. Look, it's not like you got an excuse. It's not, well, I just couldn't secure my deliverance. I just couldn't do it. Look, if you can draw a bow, you can get your deliverance tonight. Amen. If you can fire the arrow once, you can fire it enough times to kill the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. He said here, oh my. He says, the church was given into her hand the arrow of God's deliverance. He said, the Holy Spirit will deliver the church out of any kind of chaos it could get into. He says, but what does it do with it? It picked up the arrow and it struck three times. That's a backslidden king. Amen. They struck the arrow once. Well, we'll build a church. Well, that's all right. We'll teach theology. That's all right. We'll teach psychology and have an organization. That's just about as far as you struck. They struck short of many blessings. And the church tonight, he says, hear me. The church tonight is still striking short. The church has struck short of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It struck short of deliverance from sin. It struck short. Oh, you say, I belong to church. Brother, when you got that baptism of the Holy Ghost, it takes that old temper out of you and put you on a dress and make you act like a lady. Well, no, don't preach on that stuff. Well, I'm going to preach it anyhow, amen? Amen. Look, I got an arrow. I'm going to go ahead and use it, amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It'll make you quit your smoking, drinking, lying, stealing, and everything. Brother, when you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it separates you. Yeah. It delivers you from the things of the world. It makes you love God. It makes you go to church. It makes you worship Him. It makes you tell your neighbor about it. It makes you live above sin. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We believe in a Holy Ghost. Well, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. That baptism don't leave you in sin. Amen. You've been delivered from the power of sin. Sin no longer, the scripture says, has dominion over you. Now, some people want to preach about some sort of a baptism or anointing. Look, this baptism, the Bible one, it delivers you from all that nonsense. It don't leave you there. It don't strike the ground and say, well, okay, well, you got out of this, but you can live in sin. You can live in debauchery. You can live in iniquity. No, this thing's a full deliverance. Amen?
Amen.
But God didn't stop it. Like I said, He didn't just stop at justification. He wasn't willing to leave you in bondage at all. He wasn't satisfied with a partial deliverance. He wasn't satisfied with a partial victory. Why should you be? Now, I love the examples he used there because he tells you, this is what a church looks like that stops short. Well, we're going to build an organization. We're going to get degrees. We're going to have theology. We're going to have psychology. Oh, my. Well, we're going to put you on this and we're going to evaluate you. We're going to try to fix you up. And forget that. I tell you what, there's so much psychology in church today, it makes me sick. Listen, I took it in college. I see it all the time in pulpits. I'm like, well, I've seen that. Look, some quack doctor with drugs can do that. I don't need somebody to get up here and lecture me. I need somebody to just expound to me or show me a flow chart or try to psychoevaluate me. I need God to come. Look, psychology won't slay the army of Syria. Amen. Look, that won't deliver you. That might make you feel good for a while. You might get a little victory for a while, but after a while, that ain't going to keep you out of sin. Amen? What you need tonight is not a pat on the back. What you need tonight is not a feel-good message. Amen? What you need is a weapon. What you need is an arrow. You need something to fight the enemy with. Amen? Look, I'm not... That's what psychology is. We're going to negotiate with the enemy. Well, I'm going to stop doing these drugs and I'll go into remission. I'll always have a desire. There'll always be a temptation, but we'll kind of have our own space for each other. I'm not here to negotiate with him. I'm not here to make a room for him and make him comfortable. If you've got addiction tonight, I'm here to give you an arrow. Go kill him. Rise up and slay your enemy. Look, the land is not his. The land is yours. Well, he's been here the whole time. Well, guess what? God sent you to dispossess the enemy. God sent you to deliver yourself, to deliver your brother, your sister. He sent an arrow to deliver his church. God come to deliver you. Amen. Look, deliverance means it's not a problem anymore. Amen. Look, God ain't going to open take the key and open the prison door and then leave you in prison. Amen. Well, I got the ball and chain. Well, that's fine. I got the door open. Look, God come not to partially deliver you. And why I say this is so many of us, we settle for a halfway deliverance. We settle for being better than we were. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, churches do the same thing. Look, there's no prize. Let me say this. There's no prize for coming up short. Amen. Paul says, though many strive for a mastery, only one is crowned. But there's no second place. Amen. Well, hallelujah. James says in James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's a promise. Amen. The arrow of God's deliverance. Amen. What we need tonight is wisdom. Not the wisdom from below. It's devilish and sensual. Not men's wisdom of how to make people feel good or how to encourage people. And make them feel good about themselves. Well, if you're in sin, you shouldn't feel good about yourself. Amen? You should feel like repenting. Amen?
Amen?
We're not here to pat each other on the back. We're here for deliverance. Amen?
Amen?
Look, I don't care if you get a claw and fight and gum them to death and whatever else. Get delivered. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
is this all right tonight?
Amen.
Just let him ask and God will give him liberally. Amen? In other words, God's not no miser about this. Amen? God ain't going to halfway deliver you. God ain't going to halfway give you wisdom. Well, here's some wisdom. You go find the rest yourself. But why even ask God? Amen?
Amen.
But God gives liberally and he upbraideth not.
Sure.
In other words, God's not going to come to you, Brother James. He's not going to come to you and say, well, now you shouldn't be asking me for wisdom. You should really know better. You shouldn't be asking me for guidance. You shouldn't be asking me for deliverance. You shouldn't be asking me for the blessing. You should really be able to take care of yourself. Amen? It's not what he said. He's not going to upbraid. Look, he's not going to chew you out for asking.
Amen.
Amen. Look, sometimes my kids ask me for something five or six times, like I told you the first time. Quit asking me, amen. But that's not what we're talking about. God's not like, quit asking me for your healing. Quit asking me for your family. Quit asking me for a token. Quit asking me for revival. Quit asking me for joy. I'm sick. He ain't going to do that. Amen. Look, he's not the unjust judge. He's the just one. Amen. He's the one that's going to help you out. Look, the scriptures, he comes to plead the cause of the oppressed. If you're oppressed tonight, God's here to plead your case. God's here to stand for you. He's not here to convict you and put you in prison. He's here to get you out. You've got the best lawyer, amen? You've got a better lawyer than O.J. Simpson. You've got a better lawyer than somebody in the Supreme Court or something else, amen? You've got the best advocate there's ever been. Look, he's never lost a case. Hallelujah. He's never lost, amen? He's never left one behind. He's not lost from his hands. He's never failed to secure an acquittal for his children, amen? He's never failed, I tell you what, and you don't have to pay a lawyer's fee for him either, amen? He's paid the price, amen? He said, you're in prison, but I'm pleading the case for you, amen? I've paid the price. I'll stand up for you, amen? When mommy and daddy won't stand up for you, when the pastor won't stand up for you, when the deacon won't stand up for you, when nobody wants to stand up for you, God will stand up for you. When your husband, your wife, your kids, nobody wants to stand up for you, God will stand up on your behalf. When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up, amen? Look, you've got God in your corner, amen? You've got a power, amen? When the enemy stands against you, when there's a horde of enemies, there are 1,000 stand here and there's 10,000 that fall on my right hand, it won't come nigh unto me, amen? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God for a people.
Yes,
a rugged people.
Yes.
They don't get a paper cut. Oh, I don't want to serve God no more. I might get hurt again.
Amen.
I've got scars. They've got battle damage. They've got chinks in the armor. They've taken a few hits. They might have a little blood run off the face. They might be limping a little bit. That's okay. Jacob did too. They might look like they're struggling just a little bit, but hey, they just killed a bunch of Philistines. They just killed a bunch of devils. Look, they're not on the ground. They're still going. They said, I might not be running as fast as I used to, but I still got a sword. I still know how to swing it. I still know how to kill devils, amen. I still know how to whip the enemy. Oh, I might be limping now, but look, I'll be better after a while. He ain't getting back up. He ain't getting back up. I'm doing better than that guy. Hallelujah. Well, you look like you got messed up a little bit. You should see the guy I fought. Oh, that old boy, you won't have to worry about him no more, amen. I tell you what, now if you beat him up, don't let him go.
That's right.
Look, this ain't fishing, catch and return, amen? Right. Don't do it halfway. If I saw him on the ground, I thought I saw something twitch, I'd just put another arrow right in. Amen? If you're even the least bit concerned about the enemy, guess what? The arrow don't run out.
Amen.
Well, Lord, I prayed about a certain thing and I got delivered, but I feel a temptation. I feel a problem. Lord, the enemy's trying to take my joy, or they're trying to take my peace about certain things. Just go to God.
Yes.
Look, it's not like it ran out. It's not like you can't get the arrow back.
Right.
Hey, man, the arrow is just as good the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That arrow is just as good. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Let him ask. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Amen. You don't get a prize for halfway believing. Well, here's your consolation blessing. Here's your partial deliverance. Look, this is all or nothing. Amen. This is life or death. It amazes me, as somebody that travels and ministers, it amazes me how people will come to church. They'll climb out of bed in the morning for Sunday service. They had a rough weekend. Maybe they went through something. They'll climb out of bed and their flesh is telling them, you know what? You should sleep in today. They're not going to miss you at church. They don't need you there. That's not your post. You can miss a service and you'll fight through it and you'll get out of bed and you'll go through traffic and you'll barely have enough money to get to church. Hallelujah. You'll get there and you'll fight through and the kids are screaming and you've got a headache, it's blasting and your back hurts and you're tired and you'll fight through every symptom. You'll fight through every oppression. You'll stand like a Christian and come to your post of duty and God will come in the service and begin to come through the ministering of the word and God will speak and do a mighty thing.
Amen.
And you'll be like, well, that was nice. I guess I better go home.
No, no.
I come all this way. I come all this way. I fought through every roadblock. I cut through every enemy, and now I'm going to go home empty-handed. Why'd you even get out of bed?
That's right.
Well, hallelujah. Really, you're telling people to stay home? Well, I'm telling them to do it right. Don't do it at all. Amen? Well, don't be a partway Christian. Don't accept the halfway blessing. If you're going to go through all that, well, these people are making fun of me. My family says this about me. Look, if you're going to believe the message and fight through all that and fight through all your natural problems and make it all the way to church, you might as well believe God for everything. You might as well just believe for all things being possible. Amen? Why would you come? And it amazes me how you God will begin to move, and you see people, and you know they're bound, you know they're sick, and they just walk out. I'm thinking, well, I hope they were believing God when they walked out. Amen? Look, I don't have to pray for them, but it's the attitude. It's in one ear, not the other. I'm thinking, look, if it ain't going to happen here, when are you going to get victory? If you're not going to get it now, you're going to get it. You know, we're approaching the New Year's here. Hallelujah. 2016. And there's this girl I work with. She smokes, and I'm always getting on her. You need to stop. That's a filthy habit, blah, 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 blah. You know how it is. And she told me that her New Year's resolution is to stop smoking. I'm thinking, turn the page and turn it right back. Yeah. We all know what Brother Bram said about New Year's resolutions, I guess. I hope. I'm like, well, why do you wait until then? Why not just stop now? Right. What makes that day so important? Look, that day has no power to deliver you. You have an idea in your mind that you're going to get to a certain time, and that's going to change things, and this is going to be the start of something new. And what they're doing is they're driving a stake in the ground. The problem is what they're driving in the ground won't stick, amen? But you take the arrow of God's deliverance and you drive that into the ground, that'll hold. You cast your anchor behind that veil, it'll hold when the storms rise up. It'll hold when temptation comes. It'll hold when everything's falling apart, amen? You've driven a stake of God's deliverance into the ground. You've driven an arrow into the ground. And you know that you know that you know that'll hold when nothing else will hold. I don't want to get into this a whole lot, but I know people. I was talking to somebody the other day. Brother Bram talked about a man going out and committing adultery on his wife, and he says this. It's in He Cares Do You 63. He says my comfort wouldn't let me do that. He'd keep me from that. I know somebody was arguing with him about that. And I thought to myself, if the Holy Ghost can't keep me from committing adultery, how am I going to do it? If the Holy Ghost can't keep me from murdering somebody or hating my brother, if he can't keep me, how am I going to do it? Look, I can't drive nothing into the ground that's going to do it. Amen. If he can't do it, no one can. Listen, tonight, the problem why people stop halfway, why they settle for churches and psychology and man's ideas, the reason they do that, they're going halfway. They're not convinced it works. They're more convinced in their own ability. Well, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Whether they want to admit it or not, that's what it comes down to. We're convinced that we have the ability to keep ourselves. We have the ability to move God's kingdom forward. You've got no ability, amen?
Amen.
You've got no ability. You've got nothing to present to God to accomplish His will.
Right.
Other than your willingness to let God do what He wants to do, amen?
Amen.
Look, Brother Bram said, he says we must master human ability, amen? We have to realize that the more we think we can do, the less God can do with us. Amen?
Right. Amen.
We have to, look, this the arrow of God, it's the deliverance. Amen?
Sure.
Deliverance means you can't get yourself out of it. Amen?
Right.
Amen? If he's not helping you deliver yourself. Amen? Amen? He's delivering you. It means you're tied up and bound, and they threw away the key, and they blindfolded you, and you gagged you. You have no ability to get out of it whatsoever. He has to come and do it for you.
Amen.
And let me say this. It's either all God or it's not God.
Right.
And so many churches and so many Christians tonight, it's like I was talking, like I said, I was talking to Brother Steven last night. I said, the problem today with Christians is we think we've got something to do with it. Amen. We think we can help God. How many of you have ever tried to help God? Well, let me help you out with that, Lord. No, please don't. You know, sometimes your kids want to help you, and that's good, but sometimes you're like, no, let me do this. This is something you're not ready to do. This is something you're not equipped to handle. Let me do this, amen? God looks at the situations of our life, and we try to handle stuff, and God's like, please, let me handle it. The more you mess with it, the worse you're going to make it. You're just making a bigger mess for me to clean up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, Brother Bram told Billy Paul, he said, you be the best, whatever you decide to be when you grow up. He said, you be the best you can be at it. He said, if you're going to be a... this is not advice. He said, Billy Paul, if you're going to be a bum, you be the best bum you can be. Don't work a day in your life. Is that right? There's no point in doing something halfway. People do things halfway because somewhere they get afraid of the outcome. Why did we start out? Why do we do these things? Why are we here tonight? Do we come here tonight to hear me? I hope not. Do we come here tonight to fulfill some sort of a religious obligation? I hope not. Do we come here tonight because we expected God to do something for us that He's never done before? Well, you know, I know God can do things. Why not tonight? What, are you going to wait 2 days? What are you waiting for? Amen. Here's a man that had his deliverance in his hand. What was he waiting on? It wasn't coming to him. It was in his hand. Amen. The scripture tells us to beware, lest we, having an evil heart of unbelief, draw back from the promise. Amen. There's people that will reach out to God for something, and somewhere along the way, they draw back with an evil heart. It says, the scripture says an evil heart of unbelief. Look, unbelief is not a game. It's not a toy. It's something that will kill you. Amen. Unbelief is the reason the world is perishing today.
Amen.
They're not dying because they're smoking and they're drinking, they're fornicating, they're lying, they're stealing, they're cheating. Amen. They're not going to hell today because they've done these things. They're going today because they've rejected the one who had come to deliver them. They've rejected the arrow of God's deliverance. This is the sin that condemns the world because they believe not on Him whom the Father has sent. God made a... Look, God took care of all that. And let me say this to you tonight. If you're worried about your life or you're worried about things, look, God took care of all that for you.
Amen.
Well, I messed things up bad in the past. I don't know if God could ever forgive me. If you can sit here tonight and believe God's word, God can forgive you tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Look, the only thing that's stopping is you. God don't stop it. Amen? Well, my family, my loved ones, they're too far out in the world. They're never too far for God. Look, Lot was never too far for God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I tell you what, never too far for God. Look, either God does all things well or He doesn't.
Yes,
sir. I tell you what, that's what God asked Abraham. Says, is there anything too hard for God? Let me ask you tonight, is there anything too hard for God here tonight? Where are you at tonight? Well, I don't know. I've got this going on. My problem's worse than this person. Maybe it is. Is there anything too hard for God? Let me say this. I didn't plan to go this way. I was actually hoping to make a sermon out of this, but we're just going to go here now. Amen. You know, we talk about how thankful we are that God helps us with the little things. Amen. You know, God does great big things, but I'm thankful that God does the little things. And I thought about that. I'm like, what's that even mean? When you're infinite, there's nothing little or big. We're thankful that God helps us. What's all the same to God? You might think it's little. You might think it's significant. But to God, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Look, it's no harder for God to heal a toothache than it is cancer. Amen.
Yeah.
Look, it's no harder for God to heal the sick than to forgive your sins. Amen. It's no harder for God.
Yeah.
We make these brackets in our finite minds. Well, God can do this. This is a little thing. God can help me with this. But oh, my cancer, my family, my finances, my church, my lack of joy. That's too much for God. It's all the same to God. God, through the infinite eyes of God, it's the same size. Amen. God don't see weights. There's a 50 pound, here's 100. It don't look like that to God. It's all the same to God. That arrow, hallelujah, that arrow works on anything. You got sickness, the arrow works. You got depression, the arrow works. You've got mind trials and battles and everything else, the arrow works on it all. It's the same to God. Hallelujah. Why do we do that? Because as human beings, we look at things from a human perspective. We say, well, this is a great big thing, and this is a little thing. It don't look like that to God. He's infinite. Amen?
Amen.
We need to stop thinking like men. That's the problem. Quit your thinking. Take the mind of Christ.
Amen.
The mind of Christ will defeat the devil any place, anywhere, anytime.
Amen.
Look, the children of Israel, they saw giants. God said they're just like the Egyptians. They ain't no different. I can destroy them just as much as I did the Egyptians. That's no different to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah, an evil heart of unbelief. We'll look at the circumstance and let it change their mind. Well, I thought God could deliver me, but maybe not. That's an evil heart of unbelief. God doesn't look at it like that. You shouldn't look at it like that. How many here has ever had God do something for them? Well, if God could do whatever He did for you, God can do anything He promised. Amen. Oh, somebody rise up tonight and take the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Oh, my situation, nobody knows. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody's ever dealt with this. Well, praise God. Guess what? The arrow is going to do something tonight. The arrow can still do it tonight. God's just itching for you to fire that thing. Oh, hallelujah. God's just like, man, I made this arrow to do this. Man, this arrow, you ought to try it out. Oh, I tell you what. Why would we take religion? Why would we take a substitute? Why would we settle for halfway? God don't.
Amen.
It made Elisha mad. It ought to make us mad. It ought to make us mad when we say, well, you know what? I'm going to stop short of the promise of God. I'm going to stop short of the full blessing. Look, I can understand Luther's age. They didn't know. Wesley's age, they didn't know. Like we know. Look, we have been shown the greatest message. The greatest arrow that's ever struck the earth. We literally, oh, hallelujah. We are privileged to see the things that kings and prophets desire to see. There's no people that have ever walked the face of the earth that possess what we possess tonight. Why would we stay here like Joash and just say, well, you know what? I did it three times, it's fine. Man, you might as well take, you. That's the problem. It's the good news, amen. It's too good for people. It's too good. I know God said all this, and I believe God, but what? But what? There's nothing to it. There's no qualification for it. God said it, amen. Brother Bram says here, this is all right. I don't want to keep it too long tonight, but he says, you're such a perfect man. He says this. He says, a lot of people will go up to the altar and pray and say, Lord, forgive me. He says, a great experience of sanctification come upon them and things. He says, then you have a great time. You get up to the altar shouting. You go back, say, bless God, I got it. He says, no, you just started to a place where you can grow. You ain't done nothing yet. See, the only thing you've done is laid a foundation. Man, people get sanctified. They get a blessing and they'll mistake it for the fulfillment of the promise. Amen. How many people are sitting in message churches tonight thinking they got something they don't? What they got was a psychology. What they got was an organization. What they got was theology. They've struck short. And that won't hold them. That's why so many people are falling to pieces. Amen? They've struck short.
Amen.
Oh, but I like how the prophet said that. When you come to that pillar of fire, all the things that you thought were not possible, you might have lost every sight of freedom. You might have lost every hope. Hallelujah. Look, I'm not talking people that are just kind of discouraged. I'm talking people that have absolutely lost hope. Completely. They've lost all sight of freedom. They've lost all ability. But when you come into that light, everything you think is not impossible, not only does it become possible, but he says it's a reality. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, look, you're no longer faltering and wondering. It's real. It's here. It's the substance of things that are hoped for. Amen. Don't just be satisfied and say, well, you know, I felt good at the altar. Well, that's fine. But get to the arrow and finish the job. Amen.
Amen.
He says, some people, they have a portion of virtue, knowledge, wisdom, patience. They don't even profess to be Christians, he says. Is that right?
Yeah.
See, that? Well, he says, hey, let me just finish reading this. He says, there's some people who have a portion of this, don't even pretend to be Christian. He says, that won't do. It's like a blackbird trying to put peacock feathers on to make him a peacock. He only disgraces himself. It'd be better to stay a blackbird.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. Amen. Look, if you're going to believe it all the way. Amen? Yeah. See these people. These people, they believe it halfway. Now we see where they're really made of. He says here, when he tries to exercise these things without being a Christian, he's just simply all out of place. Well, that's the problem. People are out of place. They don't fit in the body of Christ because they're not a part of the body. Amen?
Amen.
But sons and daughters are part of the body. They're not out of place. They've been put into the right place. Amen?
Amen.
They've been formed and fashioned. I like how the prophet talks about that pyramid. He said they're so honed. These stones are so cut. You don't have to mortar. You don't have to give them a bunch of fake, get them worked up with smoke screens and laser lights and a rock and roll band. That don't have to hold them together. They're honed. They fit together. There's not one gap in there. There's not one hole in this message. There's not one gap in this seal. Amen. This seal, the Holy Ghost, this message, this testimony, it's fit perfectly into the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people have, as he said, they have a portion of this and they don't even pretend to be Christian, amen? I think about that. They halfway believe it. Look, we believe God so often for things that are highly improbable. Things that are unlikely. We believe God for things that don't seem like they're probably going to happen. But we've been promised not only to believe for the improbable, we are people who are supposed to believe for the impossible. Look, people win the lottery all the time. That's highly improbable. But look, those people, that doesn't save them, amen? What we're talking about is not just the unlikely. What we're talking about tonight is the impossible.
Amen.
God, give me a son, a daughter of God that'll stare unbelief right in the face.
Amen.
And dare to believe against every testimony and every word of man and everything that man has to throw out and everything the world has to say. And say, you know what, though it's completely and utterly impossible, yet with God all things are possible.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. We do that. We settle for hard things, little things and big things. You might as well believe for impossible things.
Right.
Look, it is not possible. Ask any scientist in the world today. It is not possible for you to revert your aging and take off and defy gravity and go into another dimension. It is absolutely 100% fundamentally impossible that rain should fall. It's never rained ever. There's been no cloud. There's nothing to it. It's absolutely, this rapture you speak of, there's absolutely no proof for this. There's absolutely no way that could happen. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, man, I'm talking to somebody tonight. There's no way this could take place. And yet it'll take place because God said it.
Amen.
And not only will it take place, I'm a part of it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not looking at scientific evidence. I'm looking at the unseen.
Amen.
I'm looking through the sixth sense.
Amen.
I've got the arrow of God's deliverance. Look, that defies scientific law. That defies explanation.
Yes.
That's where the prophet got in trouble trying to explain the supernatural. Look, it defies any explanation. You can get it. I can look at this message. I can look at my life. I can't tell you why I'm here tonight, but I can tell you I am here because God put me here. Amen.
Amen.
God did it. God started it and God finished it. Is that right?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. The scripture says that when we were enemies of God, He reconciled us by His death.
That's right.
How much more shall we be saved by His life? By the arrow of God's deliverance. Amen.
Amen.
How much more? Look, people accept a historical Jesus that died.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's a whole other thing. When you try the spirits, John said, you try the spirits, whether they be of God. For the spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. But if a spirit confesses that He's not come in the flesh, it's not of God. Amen?
Right.
Look, people confess a historical Jesus, but that's not what it's talking about. Can you say that Jesus Christ is come? Not has come, He is come in the flesh.
Amen?
Because if you can accept that, look, there's no explanation for it other than God told it to you. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it.
Amen?
Tonight, let's believe God for impossible things. Not just improbable things, impossible things. Let's believe that God quenches the violence of fire. Let's believe that God shuts the mouths of lions, that He slays giants. Amen? We look at these men and women of God. There was no way that Abraham and Sarah could have a child. Amen? Look, he had a lot more reason to disbelieve than some of us with our circumstances tonight. But he believed God anyhow.
That's right.
We ought to believe God anyhow. These men, they subdued kingdoms, the scripture says. Is that right? They wrought righteousness.
Amen.
They obtained promises. I like that.
Yeah.
They got a hold of something real. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I tell people all the time, I get fed up with bystander religion. People like to be spectators. I don't like to spectate. I want to participate. Amen.
Amen.
And put me in.
Yes,
I'll fight the fight. I'll run the race.
Amen.
I'll keep the faith. Amen. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what people say about it. I've got an ambition. I've got a goal. I'm here to obtain a prize. The prize of the mark of the high calling. Amen. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to throw in. I'm ready to fire the arrow of God's deliverance tonight. Amen. People tonight, they wrestle with these things. What they need to do is meet the burning bush. The burning bush has all the answers. The burning bush has the power to make reality out of something that seems not real. Amen?
Yeah.
It has the power to make that light. Things you thought were possible when you lost all sight of freedom.
Right.
When you lost all hope, there's power in that light to
right.
give you hope.
Amen.
To restore the vision. Look, Moses knew at one time he was sent to be delivered. At one time he believed it and he lost all sight. He lost every hope. Our brother and sister here, your son got baptized right here recently.
Yeah.
Look, it would have been easy to lose hope after 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Right.
It's easy to lose hope.
Sure.
At one time, Moses believed for it.
Yeah.
But life caught up with him a little bit.
Yeah.
Things got difficult. He didn't see no changes. He just looked and said, man, I'm just getting older. They're still just as bond as they've ever been. They're in just as much bond as they've ever been. Nothing seems to be happening. Oh, but in that light, something changed. In that light, something moved. Something began to burn. Something began to move around Moses. He said, you know what? We can still do it. We can still take the land. God can still deliver these people. I don't care if it's been 20, 30, 40 years. God can still do it. He can restore your lost vision. He can restore your joy. Amen. He can restore your peace. He can restore your home. He can restore your testimony. Tonight, if you've lost every hope, if you've gotten so down in the dumps, if you're so far down, you hit rock bottom, God can still raise you up. God can still give it to you, amen. Just come to where the light is at. Come to the burning bush. It'll fix everything, amen. Oh, hallelujah. I left Brother Bram in the greatest battle ever fought. This is the greatest battle that's ever been fought. He says, let's do the job right. Let's not use a 22. He says, let's get an atomic bomb. Let's do the job right, amen. Let's not accept a partial deliverance tonight. Let's believe God tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Let's believe God tonight, amen. I'm not waiting on some New Year's resolution. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I don't need a resolution. I got a revelation. I got a revelation. That revelation will change the situation. That revelation will deliver the captives. That revelation is the power to make reality. The power to change the very essence of nature, amen. Things that are impossible. I'll become easy. Think about your life before you knew the Lord. You never thought you'd get over that addiction. You never thought you'd get over that lifestyle. You didn't think there was one chance, and now it's like everyday living. It's as easy as breathing. God is able to take the impossible and make it so easy, so tangible.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God. Oh, I just think back to I'm ready for a testimony service now. Amen. I'm ready for a testimony service tonight. Amen. Look, I don't just believe God here. He just cures toothaches. If you got one, he'll cure it. Amen.
Sure.
I believe he cures cancers. I believe he opens blinded eyes. I believe he sets the captives free. How many believe that tonight?
Amen.
So, well, I used to believe that. Come back to where the light's at.
Right.
Don't give up now. Just walk to where the light's at. The light will restore your hope.
Amen.
It'll restore your vision.
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, I think of Hebrews 11. Lord, it was about this time last year I was praying one morning. I was discouraged. I was upset about certain things in my life. Lord, you spoke to me as I was driving that morning at 5:30 in the morning, praying, seeking your face, downcast and upset. Lord, wondering why you even cared for such a one as me. Lord, why you'd even want anything to do with me? Wondering if you even want anything to do with me still, Lord. And you spoke to me. You said, son, remember, the world's not worthy of you. Oh, God, to think, Lord, our humble little lives, Lord, our humble little existence here on this earth, these men and women of God, they weren't some mighty titans like we try to think of, some sort of a movie star or fiction. They were men and women of like passions, with troubles and trials, back pain and heartaches and quarrels and everything else. But Lord, you gave them a righteous testimony. For by faith the elders obtained a good report. You give them a testimony, Lord, these people, they wandered in sheepskins and in deserts. They were imprisoned. Lord, you said the world wasn't even worthy of them. Lord, there's a people here tonight. Lord, they might not think much of themselves, but you thought of them before you thought of before the foundation of the world. Lord, you thought of them as sons and daughters. You looked at Satan's Eden. You looked at the end time. You looked at our distress and our troubles. You said, the world is not worthy of my children. The world doesn't deserve these ones. These are my sons and daughters. The world doesn't deserve what they have to offer. The world doesn't deserve my children. They don't deserve the mercy that my children are packing. They don't deserve it. Lord, tonight, we know that in our flesh, we're not a deserving people, but you made us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Father, tonight, Lord, we might not think we're something. We might not think we're worthy, but you said that the world is not worthy of us. Lord, you placed an arrow in our hands tonight. You placed a power in your church by your Spirit. Lord, may we not just stop short of just having a good time or a good confession. May we enter into the place where all things are possible. Lord, may we not leave a promise off. May we not leave one hoof behind. Lord, may we utterly possess every gate of every enemy. May we leave nothing undone, oh God. Lord, tonight if we're in distress or trouble, Lord, you have a way of doing things. Lord, may we not be discouraged, but may we recognize that all things are for our good. Lord, even our trials and our circumstances that try to discourage us, Lord, you've ordained them for our good. Just as Joseph, when he was forsaken by the bloodlust of his brothers, they hated him. They despised him. They wanted to kill him. Lord, you use that to save their very lives when they weren't even thinking about you, when they weren't even thinking about their brother. Lord, tonight, we thank you for your mercy and grace to us. Lord, maybe we've made a mess of things tonight. Maybe we've gotten cold on you, Lord. Maybe we've lost sight of the vision. Maybe we've lost hope. Lord, may we take the arrow of your deliverance tonight. Lord, you release an arrow. You can't take it back. You said that all things are possible to them that believe. That all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Lord, tonight may we dare to believe that all things are possible. That there's nothing too hard for you. That there's no great or little thing to you. It's all God. It's all possible in God. Lord, we thank you tonight. Bless your children, we pray. And we'll give you all the glory and praise, Father. Set the captives free tonight, Lord. Open the eyes of the blind tonight. Give hope to the hopeless. Give strength to the feeble. Raise up your children, Lord. Raise up a banner in our lives that will withstand every attack of the enemy. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Brother, sing that song for us. Take a substitute tonight. God is here tonight. Amen. Is he your everything tonight?
Everything. He is my all. He is my everything.
Imagine tonight that I had something in my pocket, and I went up to Brother Rodney and I said, you know what? Think of your greatest desire. Think of the thing that you struggle with the most in your life. And I have something tonight to give you. If you'll take this, it will, whatever your greatest desire, your greatest wish is tonight, God will give it to you. Well, God's done that tonight, amen. He's given you promise, amen. Whatever your desire is tonight, he said, whatsoever you desire. Amen. He didn't place the limitations on that we place on tonight. Amen. He didn't tell us to stop short. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful tonight, amen. We don't have to wait for a certain time. This is the time. This is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time. I believe this is the accepted time tonight, amen. I believe that God, you know, God is here tonight. He's real tonight. You believe that, amen? Look, I believe that more than I believe this pulpit's here right now, amen? I believe that more than I'm wearing this tie tonight, amen? I'm convinced something is seized upon my soul. It's the very fire of the Holy God, the same fire that burned on the mount. It's in me tonight. It's in you tonight. It's here to utterly destroy every enemy. It's here to overthrow unbelief. It's here to tear down strongholds. It's here to tear down the walls, amen? It's here to set you free tonight, amen? It's more real. It's more powerful. It makes everything new, amen? He's here right now. I don't have to give you a magic lamp. I don't have to give you a genie or a magic pill or some empty promise. God is here. God is here. It's the arrow of God's deliverance. He has given you the Spirit of God. And the prophet said, when you receive that Spirit, everything you need is in you for your earthly journey. You don't lack one thing tonight. Just take the arrow. Don't walk out of here empty handed. You fought your way out here tonight. Some of you going home and you'll be tired because you're out so late tonight. Don't make it for nothing. Take the arrow.
Yes, Jesus.
Let this be the night. Don't just strike it once. Finish the job.
Yes.
Walk out of here with your head held high. I've got the victory. I've got an arrow. If you're not sure tonight if you got the arrow, this is the place to get it. If you're just playing games with God, Brother Bam said, quit playing games, amen? Don't play games with God. This is the time to get the Holy Ghost. This is the time for deliverance. Don't make a resolution. Come behind the veil. Come behind the veil where the glories of God are shining bright. There's no man-made light back here behind this veil. It's all God. That mercy seat, God has covered it with His presence tonight, amen? Tonight, that mercy seat, it's not off somewhere in space tonight. It's here in the human heart. God is here to overshadow you with the glory of the power of God, the same power that spoke the world into existence, the same power that raised up Christ from the dead. Don't play games tonight. Don't do it halfway. Don't just strike the ground three times. Enter in, amen? Don't walk out of here empty-handed. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. So just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Just reach out.